from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
And the frost returns tonight to our area. Good evening to you. I'm Mark Boyle in for Julian Grace. Meteorologist Mike Mays joining us now from the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Mike, some parts can see temperatures down into the 30s tonight.
Lower 30s in the locations that have the frost advisory tonight. Mark, take a look. Mecklenburg County, Virginia, from Warren County all the way over to Person County, Durham, Orange, Chatham, Lee, Moore, all in the frost advisory from 2 a.m. till about 9 a.m. tomorrow. If you have any sensitive plants that you've already set outside, cover them up, or if they're in pots, bring them inside. This region could see lower 30s to start the day, hence the frost potential. 32 Roxborough, 33 in Clarksville, 34 at South Hill, 36 in Durham. Here in Raleigh, we expect about 37, and our western counties in the Sand Hills, 35, Sanford, 37 in Southern Pines. And believe it or not, going from this to 80s, I'll show you when they're going to come back. Coming up in just a few minutes, Mark.
Seeing that sun today was fantastic.
Was
Mike,
great.
Thank you. 2 days worth of relentless rain creating standing water situations in many parts of the viewing area. And in some spots, that water lingered into this afternoon. Take a look at these barricades. They were up in both directions on Crantock Road because of the high water there. This area is prone to flooding during heavy rain. It was even higher this morning, but it has subsided quite a bit this evening. And despite those barricades, some people still drove through. Emergency responders always push the motto, turn around, don't drown. And don't be surprised if you see a scene like this over the next few days. A large tree came crashing down on Fordham Boulevard over in Chapel Hill. Police closed a portion of the road while crews worked to saw it into pieces and haul it away. The heavy rain over the past 2 days saturated the soil across the viewing area, so trees are more likely to topple. The good news here, that tree is now gone and the road is back open. Trees are also falling in yards. That's the bad news for homeowners. Take a look at this. A large tree came crashing down on a house and two cars in Cary. This happened at the corner of Elm Street and Ellen Drive. No injuries reported, but there is a lot of cleanup and repair. One of the biggest esports leagues in the country is holding its spring championship at PNC Arena right now. WRAL's Brett Neese live with a look at the final night of the League of Legends LCS Spring Finals. Brett.
Yeah, Mark, this has really been an electric atmosphere all afternoon long. Thousands of people are here inside PNC Arena. Just take a look as they have filled this lower bowl here at PNC. The first game wrapped up a little while ago, and they are in their second game. This is a best of five event, and there are just thousands of fans making their voices heard at different moments throughout these games. The favorite team, they are called Cloud9. They beat the underdogs in that first game, and now they are in that second one. But take a look at this. This is a full production. This is the opening ceremony where the players were introduced, filled with fireworks and plenty of cheering. It has been an awesome afternoon for the gaming community. Visit Raleigh estimates about 70% of these fans are from out of state. I talked to one who flew in from Canada.
It was really cool. I mean, I go to sports games and all that all the time, so I'm pretty used to it. But to see it for something like League of Legends, it's pretty fun.
Now, again, the second game, that is underway right now. But the Visit Raleigh officials, they have told me that these fans are going to bring in about a $1.6 million economic impact to our area. Tonight, though, this is an hours-long event. It could go for a few more hours, but we're going to be checking in with you later this evening, Mark.
All right, Brett Neese, live for us at PNC Arena. Brett, thank you. Rainy conditions overnight led to a single vehicle crash on New Bern Avenue in Raleigh. Authorities tell us the driver lost control and hit a light pole there. WRAL's breaking news tracker was on the scene shortly before 1 a.m. You can see the car was very badly damaged in the wreck, ending up on a nearby sidewalk. The driver had to be taken to the hospital with serious injuries. A two-car crash sent one person to the hospital after being rescued from a car. It happened on South Main Street near Dr. Calvin Jones Highway around 3 this morning. Officials tell us the collision caused heavy damage to the cars and left one driver pinned. Both drivers suffered minor injuries. Authorities are investigating what led up to that crash. Police in Durham are investigating a shooting here on this Easter Sunday. Authorities tell us the shooting happened just after 3 o'clock this afternoon on Massey Avenue. Officials say one person was taken to the hospital with a gunshot wound with non-life-threatening injuries. Anyone with information is asked to call the Durham Police Department. State Representative Tricia Cotham sent shockwaves when she switched party allegiance from Democrat to Republican. Her bombshell gives the GOP the final vote needed to override Governor Roy Cooper's vetoes in the House. She vows to hold on to some of those beliefs that got her elected in a deep blue district. But Democrats are now questioning where she'll flip on key issues like abortion and election laws. Our NC Capitol team examined her campaign statements on those issues and more. For an in-depth analysis of what Cotham's switch could mean, head to nccapitol.com. Today, the two Democrats expelled from the Tennessee State House are speaking out, both talking live on NBC's Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. As Isabel Rosales reports, both talked about how they say they experienced racism during their tenure in the House.
The Republican-led supermajority of the Tennessee General Assembly sought to have a political lynching of three of its members.
On Easter Sunday, ousted Democratic State Representative Justin Pearson making a fiery speech to a congregation in Memphis, Tennessee. Days earlier, the Republican-controlled State House voted to expel him and another black Democratic representative, Justin Jones, after they staged a demonstration calling for gun reform on the House floor. A third Democrat, Gloria Johnson, a white woman, survived the vote. The chairman of the state's Democratic Party says the expulsions set a dangerous precedent for political retribution from Republicans.
There are threats by this supermajority to withhold funding for projects that they have in the works for city and county government.
What happened in the southern state has reverberated across the nation, with President Joe Biden expressing shock and calling the expulsions undemocratic. On Meet the Press Sunday, Pearson and Jones both said they had experienced racism in the Tennessee House.
When you wear a dashiki on the House floor and a member gets up and they talk about your dashiki saying it's unprofessional, they're really sending signals that you don't belong here.
I think our presence as young black voices for our constituencies, people who will not bow down, those who will not be conformed.
In the meantime, no date has been set for a special election to fill the vacant seats. In Nashville, Isabel Rosales, WRAL News.
If the representatives are elected again, the Tennessee House Republican Caucus said in a statement it hopes, quote, they will act as the thousands who have come before them with respect for our institution, their fellow colleagues, and the seat they hold. Negotiations this week could determine whether the shows will go on at the Durham Performing Arts Center and other theaters across the nation. Actors before yesterday's matinee of Les Mis handed out flyers explaining that performers are prepared to strike. It would be the first strike by Actors Equity Association of Broadway touring shows since 1968. High cost of housing, low per diems, and coverage issues for actors and stage managers while on the road are key issues here. Talks between the union and producers should resume on Tuesday. Today, people all around the world are celebrating Easter. There was a sunrise service at Vintage Church in downtown Raleigh. It began shortly around 6 a.m. A good turnout despite the early start there. Pastor Tyler Jones tells us the sunrise service is an exciting way to connect with the city and those who observe the holiday.
We enjoy starting our services outside. It's a unique opportunity, a special service that we look forward to every year. We're spoiled being at Morris Square. We have folks join us that never come to church before. They bring their dogs and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus together.
This morning's service wrapped up shortly before 7. Another Easter tradition, those egg hunts. This morning, Christ the King Lutheran Church in Cary held an egg hunt for kids of all ages. You can see in this video, the kids were pretty excited out there showing off their special finds and wearing bunny ears. The church's senior pastor spoke with us about the importance of Easter.
It's a little bit symbolic of finding Jesus, finding God in our lives. And we hope that what the kids will learn is that with a little bit of effort, they can get a reward. And certainly finding Jesus is that reward for us.
The church also held sermons and even an Easter breakfast. We are following some breaking news right now into the newsroom. Goldsboro police are investigating after they found a man dead this morning. Police responded to William Street for a call of an unresponsive man lying in the parking lot of Carolina Motel. The man has been identified as Gary Green. The investigation is ongoing, but police say they don't suspect foul play right now. Spring baseball season is upon us, but local youth leagues need help. The need for coaches right now and where you can go and try your hand at leading a team if you can help out with that. And staff at a nearby hospital is feeling festive this Easter. The new pictures of newborn babies in the triangle. Live look outside right now, the tall tower camera. Beautiful afternoon here on Easter Sunday. Welcome back. Springtime means baseball season is here. A youth baseball league out in Durham has spent more than a decade using the game to uplift young boys in the city. WREL's Laura Levine explains how that league is facing a few challenges before they hit the field this year.
This is where all the action happens, the Durham Athletic Park, considered a second home to many young boys and teens here in the city of Durham. But this organization is more than just about a game of baseball. It's about bringing a positive outlet to many young people here in the city of Durham. And now they need the community's support to keep it going.
Keep the kids busy. Idle minds, the devil's workshop.
Pat James is determined to lead our next generation of young people. And for the past 14 years, she's been knocking it out the park.
I can't describe how proud they are to walk through a professional stadium with their uniforms on and just to be able to get out here on a field like this.
She took over the long ball organization when the city had budget cuts in 2009. It operates under Reviving Baseball in Inner Cities. Now a nonprofit, they've won championships and provided scholarships to many. It's a little inspiration on and off the field. Very much needed here where young people are impacted by hardships like crime and violence far too often.
We have no sagging pants, no profanity when you come through the gate. They have rules and that they have to follow, and it gives them accountability.
Preparing for this season, however, has been tough. Just a few weeks away from opening day, and more coaches and resources are needed. About 80 players have signed up between the ages of 13 to 18 years old.
Oh, it's definitely grown, because they're like, can we add more teams? Well, you have to have coaches to add more teams. You have to have facility to play it.
Local organizations are stepping in, but she's hoping she can get more volunteers on board to reach even more youth in the Bull City.
You have kids from all walks of life is what I really like, that's playing together. And their common denominator is the love of the game.
And the season kicks off right here in Durham at 6 p.m. on May 30th. Laura Levine, WREL News in Durham.
And if you'd like to learn more about this long ball league and how to support it, you can visit our website right now, WREL.com. Pope Francis held Easter Mass at the Vatican following his three-day hospitalization for bronchitis. The 86-year-old Pope presided over the service from a wheelchair in front of St. Peter's Basilica. The Pope's service discussed the icy winds of war, urging people to turn to God to overcome a sense of helplessness. Pope Francis had to skip an outdoor event last Friday for health reasons. Newborns at UNC Health Rex Women's Center Neonatal ICU in Raleigh were feeling very festive this Easter Sunday. Take a look at these photos provided by Rex Hospital. You can see several babies dressed up as mini Easter bunnies. They're so cute. The newborns were sporting a pair of bunny ears in some of these pictures and a tail, thanks to the team led by NICU nurse Lori Edwards. Congratulations to the proud parents and special folks there at Rex Babies Hospital. Turning to our weather now, Mike Mays here with us to talk about the day. Yesterday, I called it nasty. Yeah. Today, a much, much better day.
Complete turnaround, Mark. We had 48 for the high yesterday. Definitely needed the rain gear. And then today, nothing but sunshine, 63 the high. Now, with high pressure building in, the skies will be clear tonight. The air very dry, and the winds will gradually die down. They've been kind of gusty this afternoon. Peak wind gust at RDU was up to 28 miles per hour. With the three conditions coming together, we should see lows tonight in the 30s. That's why we have the frost advisory for parts of the viewing area. That's for our northern counties, Warren County to Person County, Durham, over toward Orange County, Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, Pittsburgh, Moncure, getting over to Sanford, and also Moore County and points westward. If you have any sensitive plants that you've set out, if you can, cover them up or bring them inside if they're in pots. Lows tonight will be in the low to mid 30s. That's from 2 a.m. till about 9 a.m. But what a spectacular afternoon. Apex, all that blue sky. You can see the trees really blowing around there. The shake to the camera in Goldsboro, lots of blue. Clinton, the flag in downtown, flying pretty good. And a lot of visitors coming to the WREL Gardens this afternoon. It's been a beautiful day to do so. Now, there's been some minor river flooding. It shouldn't be a big issue. Should peak later on tonight or tomorrow morning, and then the rivers will gradually go down. There was a lot of water that came down. Many locations saw 3, 4, some 5 and 6 inches of rain. 61 right now at RDU, 55 at Roxboro, 61 Fayetteville, 58 in Goldsboro. And as we go through our evening, nothing but clear sky. The winds 10 to 15 this evening, 5 to 10 overnight, 48 by 9 o'clock, and by 11 o'clock, 44. You're definitely going to need a jacket as you're out this evening. Now, the system that came on by, there it goes. High pressure will build in. So for the next several days, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the weather looks pretty good. This is our next weather maker. And Kat and I have been talking about this for the past few days. This becomes an upper level low making its way into the Gulf of Mexico. So by the time we get to Tuesday evening, there it is, cut off from the main jet stream. It has moisture with it. I don't think now it's going to be in the Gulf long enough to create anything there. It lifts up to the north as we go through Wednesday and Thursday. And by Friday, it takes aim at us. And that's our next rainmaker for Friday. And it may linger into Saturday and perhaps Sunday as well. Then after that, there's a strong cold front to our north and west. And both the American and European model show that blowing in the week of the 17th, that Monday, Tuesday time period. Once that passes, it's possible more cold air could come in. So I don't think after tomorrow morning or Tuesday morning, we're done with the frost just yet. So please hold back from planting anything sensitive like tomato plants, because I don't think we're in the clear yet. So tonight, clear and colder. Lows will be in the 30s, 32 Roxborough, 37 in Raleigh, 38 at Fayetteville. In the morning at the bus stop, it will be cold to make sure the kids have warm clothes. 41 by 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. or 49. And then tomorrow afternoon, numbers similar to today, maybe a degree or two warmer. 64 for Raleigh, 65 Fayetteville, 63 in Roxborough. Now for Tuesday morning, we'll probably see another threat for some frost in spots. 37 here in the triangle, but some of the colder rural areas could be in the low to mid 30s again. But we rebound to 72 later in the afternoon, 79 on Wednesday. That warm up still on schedule. 80s for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with a chance for rain Friday night, Saturday, maybe even Sunday as well. As we go through next week, we'll get a better idea and try to nail down the exact time period. But definitely warm weather's on the way. But again, Mark, I don't think our frosts are done after this round.
I'm over here booking flights to Miami or something.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Nice. Maybe. You never know. Mike, thank you very much, sir. Turning out of what's coming up next in sports. Hey, Casey.
Well, you know what? That sun was a sight for sore eyes today for some baseball teams just trying to get some games in, right? So because of all that rain, why don't we play two today? Yeah, NC State and Duke each playing a doubleheader, getting their series going. Pack trying to knock off the number two team in the country. We've got highlights next. The rain absolutely wreaked havoc on ACC series this weekend. Of course, after a couple drives back and forth to Winston-Salem, NC State and number two Wake Forest, they were finally able to hit the field today. The Pack on a seven-game stretch against ranked opponents. The weekend making this just a two-game series. So here we are at game one. State down 3-1 with the Wolves on the corner for Chase Nixon. And it was a little love at first pitch, an absolute blast. They're still out there looking for this one. It was hammered, his first of the season. It was also the first home run that ace Rhett Lauder has given up all season. And that put the Pack on top 4-3, tied in the seventh. This one could barely count as a pass ball, but it's a gutsy move by Brock Wilkin. He comes diving into home, called out. But take another look. That's a Superman as he gets in there. He beats the tag. They're going to review this one. It calls reversed, and the go-ahead run scores. Wake's bullpen and defense closes it out from there. 6-4 the final. Wake has also just taken a 4-3 lead over State in game two. To Jack Coombs we go. Duke and Virginia Tech finally getting its series underway. The Blue Devils stringing together a three-run inning early, capped off by Alex Mooney. The rope to left plates Damon Lux. And that's all the offense the Devils would need, because starting pitcher Alex Gow setting the tone here, going five hitless innings, seven strikeouts. And how about the closer, the freshman southpaw James Talon? He's bringing up the rear, his sixth save of the season. Duke takes game one, 3-1. Game two just underway. Hokies up 4-0. We'll take a look at some minor league scores. 2 days later, Carolina Mudcats and the Fayetteville Woodpeckers finally finishing its season opener. The Muddies take it in extra innings, 5-3. And the Durham Bulls, they fall 8-3 in the series finale in Jacksonville. Well, the Bulls return to the DBAP on Tuesday to start a six-game homestand with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Can't make it to the games? Don't forget, you can catch the action on WREL Plus, Channel 34 of the air, and 1257 on Spectrum. Well, yesterday was quite a feat for Tiger Woods, squeaking in, making the cut for a record-tying 23rd time at the Masters. But boy, he looked in some serious pain while doing it. And today, before play resumed at Augusta, Woods withdrew from the tournament in a statement posted to his Twitter account. Woods said he aggravated a previous plantar fasciitis injury in his right foot. The withdrawal ends his streak of completing all 72 holes of every tournament he has played at Augusta National as a professional. Now here is a look at last check of the leaderboard. John Rahm with a three-stroke lead. Lefty Phil Mickelson, boy, he made a late push. He's now tied for second with Brooks Koepka at 8 under. Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, they are tied at 4. Turn it over to Fox 50 at the top of the hour. NASCAR Cup Series getting a little dirty tonight with its lone dirt race of the season at Bristol Motor Speedway. Kyle Larson will lead the field to the green flag shortly after 7 p.m.
Come here, my friend. That was so impressive.
Awesome. I'm glad you could be here.
I love the way you guys did that.
Awesome.
Go enjoy it. All right. Thank you, man.
In case you missed it, late last night, Hurricanes head coach Rod Brindamore made it into the stands to see his son Skyler help Quinnipiac win its first ever national championship. The Bobcats scored just 10 seconds into overtime. Boy, what a way to go out for Skyler. He's a senior. Just an incredible game, Mark. It was so exciting. We were all watching it back in the sports department. So exciting for Rod that he was able to get from Buffalo down to Tampa Bay to even watch that. So exciting stuff for the Brindamores.
Very exciting stuff. And that video of Tiger Woods, by the way, I hadn't seen that. It just looks painful.
It did. Watching that yesterday, I didn't realize it was actually a flare-up of plantar fasciitis. I was a gymnast, and actually I had that as a gymnast, and it is so painful. And watching him, it's so hard to watch somebody who was so, just the legacy that he has, right? And to watch him try to play through that, it's incredible.
And that weather, my goodness. Ugh. Well, Casey, thank you very much. And thank you for joining us here this evening. Join us at 10 o'clock on Fox 50, and we'll be back here on WRAL News at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, you can always get the very latest on our website, WRAL.com. We'll see you this evening.